Welcome back to Coastline. I'm Rachel Lewis-Hilburn, and I'm joined in the studios today by Scott Pickey, news director at WWAY-TV, and Kevin Maurer of the Star News. Welcome back, gentlemen.
Thank you, and thanks for having me.
We're also now taking your phone calls. 343-1138 is the number to call, or send us an email at talk@whqr.org. This is the Reporters Roundtable here on Coastline, and we're talking about the stories that you can't stop talking about. Kevin, you've recently spent some quality time in Raleigh covering the General Assembly. Can we start with the dynamic there that you've observed with this new administration, the GOP majority, mm-hmm. sorry. Are you seeing a dynamic with Democrats who are just sort of marginalized, frustrated observers? Is there a dialogue going on? What's it like?
Well, I mean, I think there is a dialogue. It's the Republicans' turn. And that's the sense I got in Raleigh, is that they've waited a long time to take over. They have a supermajority, and they're going to get some of the things that they've wanted to get done. It's an interesting place. Raleigh is a, you know, I've covered D.C. as well, and I found that I get the same feeling in D.C. that I get in Raleigh, which is sometimes Raleigh forgets there's a state attached to it. And they like to get into the political games a little bit up there. But that's just the nature of the beast, I think, when you get into covering these politics. But I only covered the Raleigh legislature long enough to learn where everything was. And we got somebody up there now. But I'm intrigued by it. I think our delegation is really interesting. We got a lot of freshmen on there, so they were learning it as well. And I think, you know, it'll be interesting to see what they come out. But you get a sense the Republicans have waited a long time to have the chance they have now.
It seems like people have been really busy. There's so much going on, and it's not superficial stuff. There's pretty profound change going on. For instance, they're looking at voter ID laws. There was a hearing yesterday in Raleigh about that, and they took some expert testimony, and I think some of the experts were saying there's no evidence, really, of voter fraud in North Carolina. On the other hand, if you pass a voter ID law, it doesn't necessarily mean that there will be voter suppression as a result of that. Have you, either of you, Scott Pickey, Kevin Maurer, heard dialogue about that?
Well, they cover Raleigh better than we do, just because they can afford to have somebody in Raleigh and we can't. And a lot of times, if you put somebody up there, you may not get a story every day. And a lot of times in the past, maybe not now, but it can be pretty boring up there. What we have tried to do is take that dynamic and boil it down to, for instance, yesterday, Senator Tom Goolsbee put the death penalty back on the table. The de facto moratorium goes away in his bill.
What does that mean, Scott? For people who haven't been following the death penalty in North Carolina, where are we with it?
As I understand it, we discussed it in our morning meeting this morning because that's a story we're going to do today. And it's interesting that Tom would do that because he's a defense attorney, a criminal defense attorney. What it means is there are 200-something people on death row, and the state has not executed anybody since 06, I believe. And it was because in many of the cases, it was an all-white jury and a black defendant. And there has been evidence of some miscarriage of justice. Some of the people, I'm not going to say how many, I don't think anybody knows. There may be one or two people on death row that shouldn't be there. And so because of all the appeals, 200-something, they just said, let's just put this on the back burner right now and take care of all these appeals. And Tom's bill would like to, let's move the process forward a little quicker. And, you know, he's one that's easily available. He sent out a news release yesterday announcing that he had put that bill into motion. He is very communicative with the media. He's very media savvy. There are some people in our delegation that aren't, that they're very difficult to reach.
You mean in the local delegation?
Correct.
Who are some of the people who are harder to reach?
Bill Rabin from Brunswick County doesn't return phone calls, and we've had to repeatedly ask him to, hey, can you email us back or call us back? We hate to do it because it's better radio, but we will do phone interviews with people if they're up in Raleigh and can't get a camera in front of them. Susie Hamilton and I have had a debate over whether or not she's available or not during controversial votes or bills being passed. But Tom's very good, and there are some other people, not off the top of my head, but it's all about the communication process. If you're going to do this up in Raleigh and you're going to choose to run, Ted Davis, we haven't heard much from after he won back in November. I just ask you to be available a little bit, you know, to discuss things that you're doing up in Raleigh.
It's, you know, it's an interesting struggle, I think, because we all know that the lawmakers are so busy when they're up there and when things are happening. That's when we, as reporters, need to talk to them the most, but that's when they're busiest. And it is a balancing
act. Tom will text me. You know, I'm doing this, and he has a texting account where he can send multiple texts to multiple people. And I texted him yesterday. Can we talk about the death penalty? He goes, I'm in caucus, but I'll call you back later this afternoon. And I'm like, great, you know, done.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Reporters Roundtable here on Coastline. The phone lines are open. Give us a call and tell us about the stories that you're talking about over dinner. What's dominating your conversation? What are you worried about that's happening in the area? 343-1138 is the number to call. We're also taking emails at talk@whqr.org, or you can tweet us at #HQR Talk. We've gotten several emails, actually, concerns about fracking coming to the area. Kevin, what have you seen on that recently?
The fracking came up right when I was leaving, so I know a little bit about it. And mostly, I believe most of the fracking issues will be not in this area. I think there's some byproduct or waste of some sort that Representative Catlin was talking about that may come down in this area. But I think for the most part, fracking is not something that we're going to see locally. But it is a statewide issue, and it is something that, you know, this General Assembly seems to be pushing to get moving.
And there are other kinds of alternative energy sources out there besides just natural gas that the state has been looking at. Wind energy is a real possibility for this area, offshore wind energy. We have another email from a listener who asks, he says, please discuss legislation to roll building code standards back to 2006. He writes, this would be a huge setback to green building and energy conservation.
Well, there is a bill that's going to do that. I believe there's also, you know, there's a big push right now. And I don't know if I can answer specific questions on it, but here's where I think that bill comes from. And it comes from this overarching idea that a lot of the GOP legislators have of really looking at regulatory reform and looking at the way regulation works in this state. They had a town hall meeting down here to discuss it. And in that town hall meeting, they stressed that this is not just environmental regulation. This is regulation for everything, from local regulations, from the government, to, you know, business, to the environment. And I think that's probably a byproduct of this idea that they really want to see what they look at, how the state regulates and sets rules. I know Representative Millis out of Hampstead, that's one of his main issues. He's done a lot of work on it. Representative Catlin is a subcommittee chair for the environmental regulations. So it'll be interesting to see, though, when they had the town hall meeting, some of the reaction to some of the things they said. I know that Representative Brawley, who's going to do the local government, some of his comments about rolling back government regulation, I think was
tell us
met
about
with some skepticism.
Of those comments, Kevin Maurer, that he made at this meeting.
Well, I mean, they basically came down and they went over kind of the philosophy and the idea. And he mentioned specifically there was, I think it was Carteret County, they had a lawsuit where there were some impact fees that were put on developers, and the developer sued, and he won. And basically what the Supreme Court said was that if the state legislature doesn't give local government the task to do it, you can't do it. And I think they're going to use that as a guideline as they look back at regulations. And a lot of these regulations, then, are you know, local-based. Local elected leaders have decided this is what needs to be done, that we represent local voters, and this is what, you know, we want in our community. And it'll be interesting to see when we were talking before about how Raleigh sometimes forgets there's a state connected to them, how Raleigh applies this idea of this philosophy on these local leaders.
343-1138 is the number to call, or send us an email at talk@whqr.org and tweet us. We haven't gotten any tweets yet at #HQR Talk. You're listening to the Reporters Roundtable here on Coastline. Another issue that our local delegation is working hard to get through in Raleigh, film incentives. With this new, I guess it's a lack of appetite for incentives in general in Raleigh because there's so much going on around tax reform. And I don't know how close we are to seeing any legislation along those lines, But our local delegation is working hard to say, hey, film incentives are different. It's not the same thing. Why are film incentives different and why are they important for this area?
Well, Scott? I think a lot of it is emotional. I mean, I went to see Safe Haven because I knew it was set in Southport and I wanted to see the local scenes and how they portrayed it, not because I'm a Nick Sparks fan. And I think a lot of people will come to Southport because they saw that movie. They are Nick Sparks fans and they want to relate to, they're not going to find some of the things that are in the movie because they were props, but I think they'll come in Southport. It's a romanticism of seeing yourself on the big screen. And we all know that that's an economy driver, but there's no tangible, you know, you can't say how many times did you go to Lowe's to buy lumber or, you know, how many nails did you buy? I mean, there's a scene going on from a horror movie, two blocks from the station. Cars are turned upside down on Red Cross. I mean, it's awesome. They were blowing smoke yesterday. That's cool. And I think we need more of that here because it does give Wilmington something. I mean, One Tree Hill, it's a tourist thing. We would run into tourists from Sweden hanging out on Front Street in front of the diner, just wanting to get a glimpse of people. But what's the tangible economic benefit of that? You can't say. We know it's there. But I think tax incentives are hard because you're saying, well, we're losing all this money and we hope that all this money will come back by them spending it here producing this movie. Iron Man 3 stretched us hard. There were a lot of people in town. These were LA people. This was not what we were used to. They brought some of their own people in. And in the beginning, there was some frustration of not using local people. But I think it proved to the film industry that, and the LA Times wrote about it, that Wilmington is a cool place to film something.
Let's take a call. We have Ray from Wilmington. Ray, you're on Coastline.
Hey, how are you?
Good, thanks.
I'm wondering what you all think the future political ambitions of Tom Goolsbee are.
That's funny. We were talking about that at lunch today. I think there are some. I think that he's being very savvy in what he's doing. And I do think he has his eye on something bigger in Raleigh or perhaps even in Washington.
Has he made any noises about this to you?
No, not at all. It's just... James Payne is an attorney and I interviewed him Friday and we get a lot of news releases from him. And I said, hey, we get a lot of stuff from you. What are you running for? And he's like, Picky, I'm just running for the hills, you know, and people want publicity for different things. And I think Tom has aspirations to do bigger and better things.
Well, let's talk about some of the bills that Senator Tom Goolsbee has filed in this particular session. He's been a busy man. We're looking at, you talked about the death penalty bill, Scott, which lifts the moratorium. And there's a sex trafficking bill also that's interesting, Kevin, that I guess increases penalties for pimps and human traffickers and what right. Can you tell us about that bill?
First, I just want to say Nick Sparks. I like how you talk about it. Like you guys hang out. Like I had a beer with Nick down in before we went to see Safe Haven. You and Nick Sparks. I thought you were going to drop a Nicky on us in a minute. The sex trafficking bill. That's quite a segue from Nick Sparks. Now I'm calling him Nick. All right. The sex trafficking bill, essentially, the one that I was covering, got through committee, was basically would make pimps. Would put them on the sex offender list, which I think Senator Goolsbee argued pretty persuasively because it passed the committee unanimously about how they get on this list. It's going to be a lot difficult to run their business,
right?
If you want to illicit business, I guess, if they're on a sex offender list. So that was one. But I was surprised at the level of debate that came with that bill, because I think a lot of his fellow senators had concerns about expanding the breadth of the list and putting people on there that maybe didn't have specific sex crimes like rape or, you know, child crimes, that it was kind of expanding it a little bit into this servitude idea. But Senator Goolsbee had a good response to that, which was, you know, basically these guys are bad guys. And if there's a way to track them and stop them from doing what they're doing, then I don't see a reason not putting them on the list. But the sex trafficking bill was something he did. It's important to him. It was one of the first bills he talked to me about.
Yeah, and it's interesting. Maybe as a defense attorney, this is what he encounters, women who have been arrested for prostitution, and they have no way to hold accountable the people who are actually pulling the strings and who are continuing to victimize some of these people.
And that was Representative Hamilton's. She's the kind of the House counterpart. Her and Representative Davis are also going to team up on a House bill, and that's what she's pushing, is that treating prostitutes like victims and trying to give them some rehabilitation instead of incarceration. But
yeah,
you know,
as I understand, there's a whole potential program on the table mm-hmm. for that, where if they are able to jump through certain hoops and pass certain tests, their entire criminal record would be expunged, or record related to those right. issues.
Yeah, it's really a philosophical switch on the way that you view this crime. And I think a lot of it's being driven by the fact that, you know, it is a port town. It's something about how, you know, North Carolina ranks high for this crime. And I think that, I don't want to say it embarrasses Senator Gouldsby, but I think that's one of the motivating factors.
343-1138 is the number to call. If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Reporters Roundtable here on Coastline. We're talking with Kevin Maurer of the Star News and Scott Pickey, news director at WWAY-TV. If there's a story that you've been talking about that you can't stop talking about that becomes the subject of conversation at the dinner table, we want to hear about it. 343-1138 is the number to call. We now have a county commissioner who is challenging a longtime U.S. congressman for the seat in the 7th Congressional District. What do you think about that, Scott Pickey?
Well, first of all, I have to say that in my personal opinion, you're talking about Jonathan Barfield. He
yes.
Mishandled his announcement. He made a deal with Francis Weller at WECT to exclusively announce that he was going to run for Congress, a very significant announcement.
And running for Mike McIntyre,
yes,
challenging Mike McIntyre.
Primary, in
yes.
the primary. And we called him right before he went over there and said, hey, can you share this with us and we can do it at the same time? And he's like, no, Francis is holding a gun to my head. I made a deal. And then WECT completely turned the floor over to him and said, you now have the floor, Mr. Barfield. What's your announcement? And that left out the newspaper, that left us out, that left News 14 out, that left the Port City Daily out, and you out, and anybody else that's covering news that day. And so I feel that he misstepped. We refused to cover it. It didn't happen as far
so
as
so you
were
haven't
concerned.
Made the announcement.
Correct.
What do you think his chances are? Quickly, Kevin Maurer.
I mean, I think anything's going to be an uphill fight. It's going to be a tough election. He's taking on an incumbent who's got quite a track record.
Yes, yes, he is. And coming up in the next segment, we're going to talk about some of the local issues that have been dominating the headlines lately, including the alleged Ponzi schemer with pipe bombs in his storage locker and the Wilmington Police Department being investigated by the SBI. You're listening to Coastline here on WHQR 91.3. We're still taking your calls, emails, and tweets. Give us a call at 343-1138. If you'd like to ask a question, talk about a recent state or local news story, or just raise a concern, we'd like to hear from you. Send us an email at talk@whqr.org or tweet us at #HQRTalk. You're listening to Coastline.